This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Ruth 1, 6 through 18. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, 'I have hope,' even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people, to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. The word of God for the people of God. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just continue to soften our hearts, unstop our ears, unclutter our minds. Help us to focus on your word this morning, that we might be encouraged to be your people and to walk in your ways. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So when I think of a faithful woman, one of the women I think of is my Grandma Peg. Growing up, Grandma Peg lived in Pennsylvania and I lived in California, so I didn't get to see her all that often, but one thing I knew about my Grandma Peg is that she lived with her mother. And so as I got a little bit older, I learned the story that her mother, my great-grandma Mimi, her husband passed away. And then my Grandma Peg's husband passed away at a young age. And so they moved in together. And so my Grandma Peg ultimately really cared for my great-grandma Mimi for over 20 years. Until great-grandma Mimi passed away, and then Grandma Peg moved to New Mexico into a retirement living facility, and ultimately she actually got remarried, and she was always committed to her family, and she was always committed to her church. She was Presbyterian, so we have that going for us, so that's a good thing. But the faithfulness of my Grandma Peg is something that really stands out to me. And so when I was thinking about the book of Ruth, you know, it really reminded me of my Grandma Peg. And so we want to realize that our words have just as much weight as our actions. So when I think about my Grandma Peg, I don't really think a lot about her words. I didn't really get to talk to her a lot, but I always think about her faithfulness, how she lived. And I think we get that from Ruth here in this. So I'm excited to look at that. As we take a look at faithful women in the Bible, Ruth is an obvious choice because what she says and what she does, and because of how God chose to include her in his grand plan of redemption. Because Ruth is faithful to the Lord and loyal to Naomi, then we can see the Lord at work. And that's really what I want to try to highlight for you this morning, is we're looking at Ruth, but we're seeing how the Lord is at work. And the reason this is important is because we all face tough circumstances. And sometimes we need to make tough choices. So we need to be reminded that our covenant God is always at work and he has not abandoned us. And this is helpful for us as we will face more difficult and more challenging circumstances in the future. Many of you are familiar with Pastor Andrew Brunson. He's a pastor in Turkey for 20 years. And, you know, you would think a man who is leading a congregation in Turkey would be prepared for hardship. But one of the things that he spoke about after his release from the Turkish prison was that he really wasn't prepared for the intense hardship that he endured. And so he, many times he was in solitary confinement for months at a time. And so he really, really wrestled with anxiety and nervousness, and he really wrestled with his faith. And you can listen to his testimony from the General Assembly last year. You can listen to it on YouTube. It's really powerful. But it's just a reminder for us that as we sit here comfortably at Woodland Presbyterian Church, that we may not feel like we really need to be prepared. But we really need to be prepared for tough circumstances, whether it's, no matter what it is. So three things I want to highlight for us this morning to help us be prepared for tough circumstances. And these are printed on the back of your bulletin as well, these three points. We can see, first point, we can see that our covenant God is at work, especially in the midst of hardship, especially in the midst of hardship. The book of Ruth starts off with Naomi experiencing famine and her husband Elimelech, and they move to Moab with their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they end up marrying two Moabite women, Ruth and Orpah. And then, you know, tragedy strikes. The book doesn't really get into the details, but all the men die, and so the women are left to fend for themselves. And I've gotten to know many of you over the years that I've been here, I know many of you have experienced similar things: loss of a spouse, loss of a child, some serious hardships, some serious traumatic things. And I personally haven't experienced the loss of a spouse or a parent yet, thankfully, but I did experience a loss of a fraternity brother. He was if you're familiar with the way fraternity system works, a lot of times you enter into the fraternity and somebody takes you as a little brother, and then as you go on in the fraternity, you take a little brother. And so my little brother in the fraternity was killed in a car accident, and at the time, I was not a Christian, and I felt just the sting of death was traumatic, and I had no categories to deal with it, and it really impacted my life in a big way. But ultimately, I think it helped me, you know, reach out for God when I did, you know, eventually after that. But that experience, it was traumatic and it was hard, and so we need to be grounded in our faith when we experience these things. So this deep loss that Naomi has experienced is bitter, and she feels as if the Lord is against her. She needs to make a tough decision to stay in Moab with her daughters-in-law or go back to Bethlehem. The women weep together as they make this decision together. For Orpah and Ruth, they can stay with their family in Moab and worship the way they were accustomed to worshiping. Or they can go to Bethlehem and worship Yahweh, the Lord, the one true God. So if you were Ruth or Orpah, what would you do? Would you stay where it's comfortable, or would you pursue the Lord? So this is the decision that they're faced with: stick together or go their own way and worship their own God. And it's hard that you can tell that they love each other because they're crying about it. It's not an easy decision. So where do we see God at work in this? Well, verse 8 gives us the beginning glimpse of where we see God at work in all this. And I wanted to highlight verse 8. It says, "But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me.'" So we see in the way Ruth lives out God's steadfast love. See, verse 8 is a blessing that uses the word kindly. So kindly here in verse 8 is the Hebrew word hesed, which means loving kindness. This is the word used to describe God's love towards his covenant children. And its purest application of hesed is in the form of love for widows and orphans and aliens and the poor. So our covenant God thinks it is so important to care for the most vulnerable that he gave his people laws to protect the most vulnerable of society. So Naomi is praying this blessing for Ruth and Orpah because they have treated Naomi in this manner. So she's praying that blessing for them, but she also says that she is treating them that way. So we see in Ruth a loving kindness that is faithful and shows that, especially in the midst of hardship, covenant love is present. This is the kind of love that God shows towards his people. Although Ruth is a widow herself, she takes on the ideal posture of caring for her widowed mother-in-law. Naomi is an alien, she's a widow, she is poor, and Ruth clings to her and vows to stick with her. The loving kindness that has said that Ruth is showing is a picture of how our covenant God cares for us, especially in the midst of our hardships. Have you experienced this kind of love? When something tragic happens and God shows his loving kindness in the midst of it, it's powerful. I have gotten to know a family here in Memphis recently that really lived out that hesed. This family was interested in adopting a child, and they became aware of a young mom who was dying, and she had two young children, and so they got involved with that family. And when the mother passed away, this family went ahead and adopted the two children. So they were looking for one, but they adopted two. And so that loving kindness that has said, they're living that out. So no matter what anybody says about them, when you look at their life, you see that they were looking out for the vulnerable. They were looking out for the single mom who just really wanted to make sure her children were taken care of. And so they adopted those children into her family. And so those two children are now fully loved and fully cared for. And it's a picture of what God does with us, with that hesed. So now moving on to our second point, the second way we can see God at work in this passage. We can see that our covenant God is at work in the midst of these two nations. So there's two nations coming together here in this passage. We have Judah and Moab that are coming together. So Naomi moved to Moab, and her boys married Ruth and Orpah, who are Moabites. The contrasting choice between going with Naomi or staying in Moab highlights the religious climate of that time. Both women have already been commended on their treatment of Naomi, as we read in verse 8. But now they must choose between staying in their familiar country and worshiping their familiar gods, or traveling to a new country and worshiping Yahweh, the one true God. This serves as a great opportunity to highlight the decision that must be made in the midst of a tough situation. It is apparent that they all love each other, but ultimately the question comes down to, who do you love more and why? Orpah chooses to go back to her family and worship her gods. And Ruth chooses to stick with Naomi like glue. This is highlighted in these powerful verses, verse 16 and 17, which I'd like to read again. But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." The contrast between Orpah and Ruth points us toward faith in the Lord. Also, a faithful foreigner, Ruth, can be an example for all who have turned away from the Lord. Remember, this book is situated right at the time of the Judges, when the Israelite people were doing what they thought was right in their own eyes. So this book would come at a time where what we would call backsliders, right? People that aren't following the Lord need to turn and follow the Lord. So if, say, you were a backslider and you're reading Ruth, and here you have this Moabite who's vowing to follow the Lord, it's going to remind you that, hey, you know what? I should be doing that because I should be following the Lord. And that calls us to beg that question of ourselves. Are we backsliding? Are we pulling away from the Lord? Are we pulling away from God's church? Look at Ruth. Look at what she is doing. She is vowing to stick with the Lord. She is vowing to stick with God's people. And it's a great picture for us of faithfulness to the Lord and faithfulness to the Lord's people. As our culture becomes less and less Christian, we will need to make decisions more and more that show who we love and why. In the latest edition of World Magazine, they reported that only 49% of millennials claim to be Christian. This marks the first generation in American history that is not a majority Christian group. So the millennial generation coming up, 49% Christian. So I don't know how long they're measuring American history, but according to this, they're saying, you know, the first generation that's not majority Christian. So as we move forward, you have probably experienced it. There seems to be a lot more pushback against Christian values, Judeo-Christian values, things like that. So as Christians, brothers and sisters, we're going to need to hold firm in our confession to follow the Lord. And this begs the question, who will you love? Will you go with the majority and not follow Christ, or will you stand with Christ even if it's not popular? Just as Orpah and Ruth had to make a decision to trust the false Moabite gods or the one true covenant God, we will be faced with decisions regularly regarding who we really love. When we look at our finances, our time spent on Sundays, our time reading the Bible, our time caring for widows and orphans and the poor and the aliens, will we be able to tell who we really love? Will we love comfort and entertainment, or will we love the least of these in such a way that speaks louder than words, just like Ruth did? Just as Ruth vowed to follow the Lord and stuck with Naomi, we can be encouraged to hold firmly to our faith in Jesus, no matter the cost. Ultimately, our faith in Christ is eternal, and nothing can separate us from that, especially not even death. Just as Ruth vowed to stick with Naomi even unto death, Jesus takes that a step further and says, I'm vowing to stick with you even after death because I have conquered death. So we need to stick with Christ because he's our Christus Victor. He's the one who has conquered sin and death, and he's the one that sticks with us through it all. Our last point this morning, point number 3, we can see that our covenant God is at work in the midst of this marriage between Ruth and Boaz. So, spoiler alert, we're going from chapter 1 all the way to chapter 4 at the end. So, Ruth and Boaz get married, and the Lord blesses them with a son, Obed. And so, what we're trying to point out here is that Ruth is what we call a proselyte. She was a convert to Judaism, and she was a Moabite. But she was brought in to God's family through the laws of the time, through God's blessing. And she married Boaz. And as a result, they had a child named Obed, who was the father of Jesse, who is the father of David, who would become king. And of course, we know that Jesus comes from the line of David. So Ruth is an ancestor to Jesus Christ, who will bring reconciliation and redemption to all nations, including Israel and Moab. This points us toward the engrafting of the Gentiles into God's family through faith in Christ. This is described in detail in the book of Romans, chapter 11. So God is all about bringing about his work through the people of God. So he creates the Jewish nation, and he brings about blessing. Like we think about Abraham and how Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. So God wanted to create God's people to be a blessing. Well, they turned away from their responsibilities, and part of God's grand plan was to bring Jesus Christ and to draw everyone in, not just the Israelites, to draw everyone in. That's the engrafting that we're talking about. So every one of us here who are in Christ have been engrafted into God's kingdom. And our covenant God was at work engrafting a Moabite into his family tree, so that now, looking at the family tree of Jesus, we can see that God created all people, and he desires to be reconciled with all people. And this also points us towards the Great Commission, and this is the Great Commission that we want to live out on a daily basis. And Jesus tells his disciples to go to all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age. Ruth models again for us how we are to treat people from other nations. The way she cares for Naomi and the way she marries Boaz is again a picture of our covenant God at work. We are the foreigners in this story, and we are married into God's family through Jesus. Jesus calls the church the bride of Christ. So we are the outsiders, but because of Christ's finished work on the cross, because of Christ's blood, we are brought into the family of God. We are adopted completely and fully loved into the family of God. So what does this mean for how we live our lives today as we move forward from here this morning? Are you facing tough circumstances right now? The loss of a loved one, caring for one of your parents maybe who's not doing well? We know the struggle is real, the pain is real, and the tears are real. And we know these situations are not easy and can't be dismissed with positive thoughts or everything will be okay. We need more than that. We need to know that our covenant God is at work in all circumstances. We don't see, oftentimes we don't see exactly what he's doing. But because of what we see in Ruth this morning, we can see that he's at work, and he's at work caring for the widows and the orphans and the aliens and the least of these. And he's at work caring for us. And I want to leave you with Proverbs 3 this morning. It says, it's basically Proverbs 3 through 6, and it's almost like a summary of Ruth's life summed up in this proverb. It says, let not steadfast love, that word has said, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. So we see in Ruth, we see the hesed, we see that steadfast love. She trusted in the Lord. She stuck with Ruth, and she moved to Judah, and she became part of God's family. She didn't know that was going to happen. She just trusted with the Lord with all her heart, and she took that path to Judah, and the Lord used her. And we know, brothers and sisters, that because of that, we know that God is for us, and that he wants to bring us into the family of God. And he wants to bring you who are far away. If you are here this morning, or if you're listening to this message and you are far away from God, God wants to draw you back to him, and he wants you to commit your life to him. So now is the time to do that. Just as Ruth chose to follow the Lord, you can choose to trust Jesus and join God's covenant family. If you are a Christian, I'm encouraging you to make your faith in Christ primary in all things. So if you're far away from God, come back. If you're close to God, stand firm and continue to follow, and make the will of God the primary will in your life, especially when it comes to making the tough decisions that we all have to face.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.